You are listening to Perspectives Live, a weekly podcast from Life Heritage Ministries with host Dr. Keith Augustus Burton. In previous programs, you have heard me refer to the Project for a New American Century, a team of neoconservative Reaganites whose sole purpose is to create a novus ordo seculorum, a new world order. In this new world, America would serve as the economic, military, and ideological masters, and all systems that did not agree to her terms would be quashed. Recent events in the so-called War on Terror have thrust several of these neocons into very influential positions. At this very moment as I speak, their agenda is being bulldozed upon the world by Vice President Dick Cheney and Ambassador Zalmay Khatalzad. And many more of their members are placed in strategic government positions from which they shape and implement American foreign policy. With new strategies being employed in the nefarious destruction of Iraq, it is obvious that these worshippers of Reagan are determined to succeed. Even the Democratic Congress is discovering that they are powerless against these imperialist ideologues who have sold their soul to the cause. Nonetheless, despite their bottomless war chest and sense of impregnability, there have been some casualties in this battle to impose this new American century on the world. Who would have imagined that this stubborn president, whose friends can do no wrong, would have eventually given in to pressure to call for Don Rumsfeld's resignation? Additionally, Louis Scooter Libby, Dick Cheney's confidant, was forced to lay on the altar of sacrifice for the cause, and now another high-profile member of the project is in the hot seat, none other than the alleged architect of the war in Iraq and president of the World Bank, Paul Wolfowitz. I'm surprised that there was not more resistance when President Bush nominated Paul Wolfowitz to head the preeminent development bank in the world. Upon second thoughts, it's probably because opponents were relieved that he was being separated from Rumsfeld in the Department of Defense. Wolfowitz had caused so much destruction during his brief tenure at the Pentagon that they probably thought that things would not be so hawkish with him in the financial sector. Little did they know that the move was just a small part of a larger military strategy. You see, anyone looking at Wolfowitz's resume would quickly see that there is absolutely nothing that qualified this warmonger for the position of compassionate moneylender. The leader of the World Bank should have some track record of caring and cultural sensitivity. However, this military-minded product of a Zionist upbringing appears to have devoted his life to the Israeli-American agenda that is competently articulated in the project's manifesto. His brief flirting with social activism during his undergraduate days when he participated in Dr. Martin Luther King's March in Washington hardly qualifies him as a humanitarian. You see, Wolfowitz was placed in the World Bank for one purpose and one purpose only, and that is to promote American interest. More specifically, he was appointed to this position to manipulate developing nations into submitting to the agenda of the Project for a New American Century. The neoconservative propaganda machine touted Wolfowitz as one who would speak truth to power and bring needed reform to the world's moneylender. Indeed, with his public tenacity and feigned interest in the economic development of African nations, it did appear that this feisty fanatic was determined to make a difference. However, as has recently been exposed, these public charades amounted to carefully devised schemes intended to distract observers from the real Wolfowitz. While he was throwing bones to third world nations, Wolfowitz was devouring prime steaks, and all his friends were invited to the party. He had not even settled in a president's chair before he hired two colleagues to serve as his advisors, both, I may add, with $250,000 annual salaries, tax-free. And then the bank, which is commissioned to fight poverty, had to add another line item to its budget. $5 million. Not for fighting AIDS. Not for developing the infrastructure in Mozambique. But to provide security for the high-profile Wolfowitz, whose face is probably the knave on Al-Qaeda's deck of cards. But the straw that rarely broke the camel's back was the huge salary increase he gifted to his girlfriend and World Bank / State Department employee Shahar Reza. While Bush, with true Tammy Wynette-like determination, vows to stand by another one of his beleaguered men, the World Bank's board of directors are steeled in their demands for Wolfowitz's resignation. The shallow pleadings from the lame duck Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice are falling on hardened ears. Like his president, Wolfowitz may believe that he is accountable to nobody, but his day of reckoning is upon him. He's not dealing with a fickle Congress with weather-vane politicians whose only concern is re-election. He's dealing now with an international board which is not intimidated by his position and is willing to speak truth to power. I mean, really speak truth to power. I'm sure that most are familiar with the saying, power tends to corrupt and absolute power corrupts absolutely. These were the words of Lord Acton to Bishop Mandell Crichton in 1887 and may have been influenced by the words of 18th century British Prime Minister William Pitt the Younger, who uttered, "Unlimited power is apt to corrupt the minds of those who possess it." Indeed, Paul Wolfowitz, like George Walker Bush, William Jefferson Clinton, Adolf Hitler, Idi Amin, Saddam Hussein, Pol Pot, King David, and so many others have proven this to be true. Sadly, there are even many in the ranks of ministry who have allowed their positions to go to their heads. The truth is, only benevolent divinity can handle absolute power without being negatively affected by the Lucifer virus. Before we end our castigation of Wolfowitz and others in position of power, there is one thing we must remember, however. And that is, while most of us will never rise to high-profile positions like the almost ousted World Bank president, at some time in our lives, we will all be vested with a certain measure of power. When that happens, how will you exercise your authority? As you contemplate your answer, always remember, please always remember, that a tree is known by its fruit. I hope you were blessed by this edition of Perspectives Live. To benefit from the other services of Life Heritage Ministries, you may visit us on the web at www.lifeheritage.org. That's www.lifeheritage.org. If you wish to support this ministry, feel free to leave a secure online donation, or you may send a check or money order to Life Heritage Ministries, P.O. Box 56, Harvest, Alabama, 35749. That's Life Heritage Ministries, P.O. Box 56, Harvest, Alabama, 35749. Until next time, always remember that a tree is known by its fruit.